just a few minutes later than normal, so we're going to skip our scripture reading and go right to the special. Brother Dan, come on, get ready to sing for us, and then I'll come speak, and we'll get right to our text. In fact, open your Bible to John chapter 4 now, and we'll be ready to go when Dan gets done. We're turning our attention to missions the next few services, our conference in 2 weeks, and Brother Dan came to me and said, do you have a theme for the conference? And I said, yes, I do, and told him what it was. And he got busy in his truck driving down the road, has some time to think and pray, and God gave him a wonderful song that fits exactly the theme of this year's conference. You listen carefully. He'll sing, and then I'll bring the messages.
Jesus told his disciples to look on the field and say not it's 4 months till it's time for yield. It's already white and ready to fall. I need for the laborer to answer my call. A heart for his harvest, Lord, let me see. The need all around us, make it real to me. I give up my will and all that I am for just one more soul to come to the Lamb. Lord, I'm looking on the field and help me now to yield a heart for your harvest, Lord, to do. Jesus calls for his people to labor each day and bring in the harvest before it falls away. He said, pray that the Lord would send workers to reap and promise his reward if we will just keep a heart for his harvest. Lord, let me see. The need all around us, make it real to me. I give up my will and all that I am for just one more soul to come to the Lamb. Lord, I'm looking on the field and help me now to you. A heart for your harvest, Lord, to do your will. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. Heart for his harvest, Lord, let me see. The need all around us, make it real to me. I give up my will and all that I am for just one more soul to come to the Lamb. Lord, I'm looking on the and help me now to yield a heart for your harvest, Lord, to do your will. A heart for your harvest, Lord, to do.
Amen. That's a beautiful song, isn't it? Real good. Thank you, Dan. Look at verse number 31 of chapter 4. By the way, Brother Jason Minkowski called, and he is scheduled to baptize 7 converts tonight. and just asked us to pray that they had ice there this morning. But they're all excited about that tonight. That is a blessing. Verse number 31 says, "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." And I want to speak this morning on the subject, a heart for his harvest. A heart for his harvest. Let's pray. God, thank you for the service we've enjoyed this far. Please bless me, Lord. I have a little shorter time today. So bless me to know what to leave out, what must be said. And I yield myself to the Holy Spirit of God. And I know he is the great one that will work on our hearts about your harvest. So Holy Spirit, we give ourselves to you. Please use this service, I pray, for the glory of Christ. In Jesus' name. And amen. Now, at the end of January and at the beginning of February, we aren't usually thinking a lot about the harvest that is reserved for October, September, the fall of the year. But we're going to have our attention turned to the harvest over the next few weeks. Not a harvest of grain, rather the harvest that Jesus mentioned often during his earthly ministry. And we're going to ask the Lord to help us as we try to give our hearts for his harvest. Our hearts for his harvest. That will be the theme on the banner behind us, hopefully by next Sunday. Our hearts for his harvest. He said in Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 38, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers," here it is now, "into his harvest." His harvest. And this morning we're going to ask God to give us a heart for his harvest. And this is where all things spiritual begin. Heart. That's where all things spiritual begin. The heart. I'm not talking about that organ that beats regularly and pumps blood through our circulatory system. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm speaking of the inner being that is in each one of us. Our core, our center, where we think and feel and choose and make decisions. That center of sincerity, that center of devotion, that center of commitment, that center of volition. I'm talking about our heart. And we're asking God, give us a heart for your harvest. A heart for your harvest. Now, in John chapter 4, it's a familiar passage about Jesus witnessing to a woman who was in a bad, difficult situation and, of course, lost and in sin. And to shorten it up, Jesus is on a journey and he stops at noontime at a well in Samaria. His disciples are with him and they go into town to get some food to eat. Jesus sits on the side of the well and a woman comes in the middle of the day, which is not the time of day to draw water, except for she avoided the times when most people would be there. She came by herself. And when she came to the well, Jesus asked her for a drink of water. It's obvious he's a Jew. She's a Samaritan. And she says to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, being a Samaritan?" Because the Jews and the Samaritans didn't have anything to do with each other. And then Jesus began to explain to her the wonderful truths about living water. He said, "You know, if you take a drink out of this water, out of this well, if you take a drink of this kind of water right here, you're going to thirst again and have to have another drink and another drink and another drink. But the kind of water I could give you, you'll never thirst again." He's talking about living water. What's he talking about? He's talking about salvation. He's talking about being saved. The great need is not so much a drink of physical water as it is to have a drink of spiritual water, the water of Jesus Christ. Okay, now, she says, "Well, I'd like to have some of that. Why don't you give me a drink?" And he said, "Well, that'd be good. Why don't you call your husband? And maybe he'd like one too." And she kind of hung her head. She said, "I don't have a husband." He said, "I know. You've had 5. And the man you're living with right now, you're not married to." Folks, live that for a moment. This is the first time she's ever seen Christ. And he's telling her her past. Would that shock you? Really, I'm surprised that she was able to continue on with the conversation. She stuttered and stammered, no doubt. Started talking about religion, and Jesus got her off the topic of religion, started talking about salvation again, and he explained to her, you know, he said, "Look, I understand you've had 5 men as a husband. The one you're living with now is not your husband." She had to come to the place where she saw her need for salvation before she thirsted for it. But after a while, it dawned on her. She said, you know, I've heard that there's going to be a Messiah one of these days. We've heard all about him. He's going to come tell us all things. And he said, well, you're talking to him. You're talking to him. And she believed, boy, that she left her water pot and she went to town. And while she did that, the disciples had come back from town. And they came and they had a kosher bologna sandwich. Amen. And they said, Jesus, would you like a sandwich? And he said, fellas, he said, nah, he was rejoicing in his heart. And he said, no, I'm fine right now. I'm full. And they said, well, wonder who got him something to eat out here? And he said, no, I'm not full of physical food. I'm full of joy. I'm full of the rejoicing of the Lord. My heart's full. And if you've ever been used of God to see somebody saved, you know, friend, that you're not interested in hamburgers when somebody gets saved. Amen. Your heart's so full. And he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And he said, fellas, he said, look, my job, look at verse number 34. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And I want you to notice that. Then he says in verse number 35, say not ye there yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. You say, you know, you look at the field, you see the plants and you say, you know, harvest is 4 months off. And Jesus said, look, I want you to look up your eyes, lift up your eyes and look on the field. I'm trying to hurry here. It's interesting. I don't want to leave some things out. It's interesting to me that he goes from talking about his father's work in verse 34 to the harvest in verse 35. Kind of indicates that the father's work is the harvest. The father's work is the harvest. That's what the father's work is, friend. The father's work is harvesting souls from the vast fields of mankind. And not just harvesting people to salvation, but seeing them grow and maturing them, that they might bring honor and glory to him. And that's why Jesus was so excited. That's why his joy is running over. Here is a woman who was so encased in sin. And now she's been saved and she was on a course where she could ultimately glorify God with her life. And you know, Jesus was all excited about that. Now listen carefully. Here's the crux of the message, and I'm trying to hurry. The key to developing a heart for his harvest does not begin with the heart. It begins with the eyes. That's what he told them. He told his disciples, he said, you know what, fellas, you know what y'all say when y'all talk among yourselves? You know what you say? You say that there are 4 months until harvest. That would be like you and me around the middle of May saying, yep, we see the little plants out there and they're just beginning to shoot up from the ground. We can just see the... Isn't it interesting when you drive in the spring of the year and you look at the crops, you look at the fields that have been planted, and when you can just barely see that little thin line of green. You know what I'm talking about? It's a little thin line of green. It's just starting to come up. To be like you and me in the middle of May, end of May, seeing that little thin line of green just breaking through the clouds of the earth and saying, yep, you know what, in about four and a half months, we're going to have harvest. That's what it would be like. Now, his disciples would base that statement on what they could see. They'd look out on the agricultural fields and they'd see those young plants and they would know and calculate in their mind, come to the conclusion, in about 4 months it's going to be harvest time. But Jesus said, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now, obviously, Jesus wanted them to look at something different than what they were looking at. They're looking at the little plants. The little plants of barley and the little plants of wheat that are just starting to grow in that area of the world. And thinking to themselves that it's 4 months away. Harvest time's 4 months away. But Jesus had his mind on something different. He wanted them to see something different than what they were seeing. And you have to back up to verse number 27. For sake of time, let me talk you through it. Jesus had been talking to the woman. Remember that? While the disciples were in town buying food and this woman had gotten saved. And verse number 28 says that she left her water pot. Look at this. And went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? What she said basically was this. Come meet the Messiah. Come meet the Messiah. Come meet the Messiah. The Messiah is sitting at the well just right outside of town. Come meet the Messiah. Now, while she's in town telling these men that the Messiah is at the well, the disciples come back and they got this food and they're concerned about Jesus Christ. And here's a sandwich, Lord, and don't you want something to eat? And Jesus said, fellas, he said, you think harvest is 4 months away? He said, I want you to see something. I want you to lift up your eyes. Look at that. Look at that. Now, they're not looking at thin air. You know what they're looking at? They're looking at whatever that crowd was that she had told in the city that the Messiah was sitting at the well. They're looking, they lift up their eyes and they look, and here comes this crowd of people. This crowd of people that are coming out to see the Messiah, they're coming to see a man. And Jesus says, look at that. Look at that. Your friend, when we tell someone to look at something, we are telling them to focus your attention. Focus your attention. And that is exactly what Jesus wanted these men to do. He wanted them to focus their attention on that. On what? On that great field of mankind. The massive field of people. Not just people, but people who would come to Jesus if they just heard about Jesus. Jesus was saying, please get your eyes off of the sandwich, off of material things, off of temporal things. And by the way, it's not wrong to enjoy a sandwich. It's not wrong to eat. Man, I've eaten this week. My wife has been having a celebration of my birthday and had a whole birthday week. And I mean, every night it's been one of the favorite meals that I enjoy her making. And I'm glad it's not wrong to eat. Amen. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed that. But eating cannot be the sole focus of our attention. And that's what Jesus was saying. The sole focus of your attention, men, cannot be the temporal, material things that demand so much of your attention. On purpose, every once in a while, we have to lift up our eyes and look at what Jesus sees. And Jesus sees these massive fields of people who need to be saved. And I want you to hear this morning, Jesus speak to us, to you and me, in the same manner that He spoke to those disciples. They were His, by the way, think about this. They were His followers. They were His disciples. They were people who were concerned about Him because they wanted to give Him something to eat. They weren't pew sitters. They were really involved. And they were wanting to be good to Jesus, okay? And so He says to you and me, hey, He says, those of you who are concerned enough about Me to come to church, and those of you who are concerned enough about Me to read your Bible, and those of you who are concerned enough about Me to pray, and those of you who are concerned enough about Me to teach, you're concerned about enough about Me to sing, you're concerned enough about Me to preach, and all those are wonderful things, but every once in a while, you need to lift up your eyes off of those things and get your eyes on the fields. Because that's what He sees. And if we hear that command and obey, friend, we will see fields of billions and billions of people. Billions. If you get a chance to ever see a picture of President Obama's first inauguration, that would have been, what, 2009? 1.8 million people. On that mall in Washington, D.C. You ever been to that mall? Runs from the Capitol building on the east end of the mall to the Lincoln Memorial on the west end of the mall. And they took a snapshot of that. Friend, if you've never seen the aerial snapshot of that crowd, that 1.8 million people that were at his inauguration, the first one, you ought to see that. It's huge. Little dots of red and dots of yellow and dots of green and blue and bright colored clothing that certain people had worn on that day. But you can't make anybody out. It's like an ocean of humanity. Like an ocean. It's unbelievable. 1.8 million people. They opened up the entire mall, the whole area, to accommodate that many people. 1.8 million. But do you understand, friend, when you consider what percent of 1.8 million is of the world's population? Which I checked this morning on the world population clock. 7,062,350,000. And it's probably grown since I looked this morning. Now you look at that picture. I hope you'll do it sometime. Maybe find a way to see it. Look at that picture of 1.8 million people. And it's just this ocean of humanity. And realize that what you're looking at is 0.00025%. Of what God looks at. We ran the numbers. I didn't even know how to say 0.00025, 25 ten thousandths. And you look at that picture of that crowd in D.C. and you go, my soul, what a massive ocean of humanity. And then you stop and realize, but what I'm looking at only represents 25 one thousandths of what God looks at every day. Because when God looks down at this earth, He's not looking at us as Americans and Africans and Spaniards and Oriental. He's looking at us as people. People. Little dots of brown and yellow and red and black and white and red, brown, yellow, black and white. They are all precious in His sight. And every once in a while, we got to lift our eyes up off of our sermon notes and lift our eyes up off the words on the song and lift our eyes up off of our Sunday school lessons and lift our eyes up off our bus routes and lift our eyes up out of our Bibles even. Lift our eyes up and look on the fields and see what Jesus wants us to see. Fields. A massive humanity of ocean. An ocean of people out there. Masses of humanity. And that's exactly what they thought. He wanted them to focus their attention on. Look at that crowd coming out of that city, fellas. That represents the fields of people that are in this world. And you know, friend, if we would focus our attention on that many people, it would have one result. And Jesus knew this because He experienced it Himself. And I'll give it to you in just a moment. You know what happens when you focus your attention on, whoa, 7 billion people. You know what happens? It fuels your affection. It moves your heart to look at a picture of 1.8 million people and try to guess how many in that number are saved, and then represent, and then realize that that picture only represents 25 ten thousandths of the people that God looks down on day after day after day, and how few in that number are saved. You know, Lamentations 3:51, Jeremiah looked on all the people in his broken down, ruined city, and as he looked on the people, he said, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart. What I'm looking at moves me. What I'm looking at does something to my heart. What I am focusing my attention on here fuels my affection." And every now and again, we have to get our eyes off the temporal, material things that make up our life and see what God sees. He sees people. Unless you are totally hard-baked and unsaved, there is no way you can focus your attention on the fields of people in this world without you being affected. Friends, stop and look. And that's one reason why we have a missions conference. That's one reason why we designate these days in February every year and bring in missionaries and bring in a special guest speaker with a different voice. It's one of the reasons we preach messages that deal with missions, because we need to stop and look. Focus our attention. And if we'll focus our attention, we will fuel our affection. It's time for us for a few weeks here to get our eyes off of our jobs and our houses and our computers and our iPhones and our iPads and our internet and the email and Facebook and television and vehicle and sports and vacations and weather and politics and clothes and fashion and family and spouse and money and stocks and toys and food and lands and buildings and see what God wants us to see. And that's people. Billions. Billion. Billions. Most of them going to hell. Billions. Multitudes. Fields, not of barley, not of wheat, but fields of people. And God, Jesus spoke to these disciples and he said, fellas, those were his followers. Those were the men that were close to him. He said, you've got to lift up your eyes and look, focus your attention on how I see things. And if you'll focus your attention, you'll fuel your affection. And he knew this to be true because the Bible says about Jesus in Matthew 9:36. But when he saw, now listen to this. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. I don't care what you say. There's something about a crowd. There's something about a crowd. Didn't say when he saw the crowd, Brother Caleb said when he saw the multitudes. Multitudes. He was moved. Friend, it would be a horrible thing if somebody in this crowd this morning died and went to hell. But we're not the only folks in this world. And you multiply what's in this room this morning by however many and arrive at 7,062,350,000. And you look at them and you see them as Jesus saw them, sees them. People he died for, who are going to spend an eternity apart from him, apart from heaven, and apart from God. And if you and I could just by faith see the multitudes, it would do something for our heart. And that's where all things spiritual begin, with the heart. In this place, it doesn't even begin with our heart. It begins with our eyes. It is time for Faith Baptist Church to lift up our eyes. Oh yes, we all got to go to work tomorrow. We all have decisions to make. We all have places to be and things that must be accomplished. The spouses to care for and children to raise and grandchildren to love and care for. We all have that. But somehow, some way, for these next several weeks, we've got to lift up our eyes beyond that and see what the Lord Jesus sees. A sea of humanity. Most of them going to hell. And if I could just see that, if I could just focus my attention on that, it would fuel my affection. There's no doubt. But if we could see the multitudes, we too would be moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. A heart for his harvest begins with our eyes. Lift up your eyes this morning and look and see it like he sees it. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed just for a moment. I wonder who's here this morning would say, Pastor, I listened carefully to the message and the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. It is so easy to get so engrossed and lost, immersed into my world, my life. And forget to lift up my eyes every now and again and look and see what Jesus saw. But I've been challenged by the prospect of what would happen with my heart if I would do that. And I'm going to ask the Lord to help me focus my attention on the multitudes a little bit these next few days. Pray that God fuels my affection, does something for my heart. If that's you this morning, would you lift your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me in that way? Yes, sir. God bless you. Yes, yes. Amen. 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 I want to ask the Lord to do the same for me. Lift up my eyes and look on the fields, these fields of humanity. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in His sight. Fuel my affection, Lord. A heart for your harvest. I wonder this morning if there's somebody in the auditorium who said, Brother Angel, I'm not sure I'm saved. You talk about salvation and going to heaven, going to hell. I'm not sure where I'd go. If I die, I don't know where I would spend eternity. If somebody was to ask me where I would spend eternity, I don't know what I would say. Friend, you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. How about it? Are you on your way to spend eternity with heaven, in heaven with Jesus? Are you on your way for that? If you're not sure that you're saved, say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Just lift your hand. Let me pray for you this morning. I won't call your name. I just want to pray for you. Ask God to speak to your heart. Anybody like that? Side to side, front to back this morning. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that? Not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. All right, you're here this morning, and you know that you're saved, but you haven't been baptized according to the Bible way. Pastor, pray for me. I should follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Raise your hand. We'll pray for you this morning. God bless you. I know there are several. God bless you. Amen. If you're willing to do that this morning, you want to step out and be obedient to Christ, we're ready, and you can come and take that step this morning. Be a blessing. Or maybe just come to have somebody set up a time to talk to you about it. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege to preach this morning about the harvest. Your work is the harvest. And I pray that you'll help us these next several services, Lord, to turn our attention to the harvest and give us a heart for your harvest, please. And Lord, may our heart be stirred by what we see. Help us to lift our eyes up beyond what is the daily routine of our lives and see what Jesus saw. See what Jesus sees. May our hearts be fueled by what we see. May our hearts be stirred. And then may we be obedient to what the Spirit does to tell us to do. In Jesus' name I pray.